Hello there, and welcome once again to the No Script Show. In this episode, we're looking at agile development, what it is, why it matters, its core principles, and how we can apply it. You can find our notes and resources at noscript.show/32. That's the numbers 32. And if you're watching on YouTube, the link will be in the first comment just below the subscribe and like buttons. As always, I'm joined by
Hello.
David, only this time he's on a rather appetizing looking roof. Very nice backdrop you've got there, David. Is that one of those sort of overlays that the software applies, or is that real?
No, it's real. I'm up in Kerala now. Yeah, new house on the roof. Yeah.
I'm still in Yorkshire. You win.
I could talk about this for ages, but we will probably crack on.
Let's get on with agile development.
For context, agile is one of the five pillars of the web owner's manual, which we're creating for this show. And when finished, if you bring the screens up, actually, Nathan, sorry, I forgot to say that.
Yeah,
they'll be able to see what we're doing.
Okay, there we go. How's that? You see that?
Brilliant. I've just moved on to... Yeah, so when we finish this episode, it's going to be linked to the manual's preface, along with other key standards that are going to influence our design as such. So there's a whole bunch of them, and for those who can see it on YouTube, there's a bunch of episodes we covered. We've covered most of these. We covered inclusive design, designing for all. That was last time. Time before that, we covered content design, giving the users what they need, how they need it. And we talked about the indie web before. And now we're doing agile development, which is really kind of our approach to web development today. And next time, this will be the final one of these kind of standards that we set out for this. We'll talk about web standards. So that's where we are. But I'll crack on and move to the next screen, where actually I'm going to leave it for you, Nathan, to read out the stuff here.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so firstly, thank you for that. And as always, thank you to David for doing all the preparatory work for this. I just show up. So here we go. So agile development, what is that? An agile approach treats a website as a living product, not a one-off deliverable. It emphasizes starting small, learning from real-world use, and iterating based on feedback and changing conditions. In practice, this means, and there are three bullet points here, start with a minimum viable product rather than a perfect first version. Deliver improvements in small increments instead of big launches. And finally, use feedback to guide rather than sticking rigidly to initial assumptions. It's a mindset more than a specific process. It shapes how we plan, decide, and work together over the whole life of the site. Basically, it mimics real life, doesn't it? Like, that's yes. What an actual real life is, you know. A normal human life is not some sort of destination. It's a journey. It's the process of, like, how do you get there in small incremental little bits? So, yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. Just, Nathan, one thing on there. Are we actually on the camera any longer?
No, we're not at the moment, but I can put us on the camera if you would like.
Okay, that's fine. It's just lovely to see you.
Oh, okay. In which case, there we go. It was the reason I do that is sometimes we mask the text, and on the previous slide we were masking the text, and on this one we're not.
Right. There we go. Yeah. I mean, I've put a few little notes down just to say on that one, because it's very much changed, I think, the way that I look at web design, because I'm used to what was the traditional way, where you treated web design a little bit like how you treated print design, where you go for a one-off run and you would charge for the project from the beginning to end with an estimate, and then you would kind of stick to that. I mean, I think what we've realized, and it was the people in software development who realized it first, is that, well, websites are living things that change all the time. The technology changes, what we require of it to do changes all of the time. So agile seems to suit not just sort of software development and digital stuff. It seems to be anywhere, really, these days, where learning needs to be constant, where there needs to be an evolution of a kind of living product.
Yeah, and I think as we've mentioned in the past, I think it's quite a hard concept to get your head around unless you're in, well, software development, really, because almost everything in the real world that you purchase, that you know, there's a value exchange, you purchase with money. It's a finished thing, isn't it? So, you know, you buy a pair of shoes, you don't buy a pair of like half finished shoes that will adapt during the course of the shoe's life. It's like you buy a pair of shoes, wear them out, get another one or another pair. And it's the same with everything. You know, you buy a phone, that's what you get. You wear it out, you get another one, and so on and so forth. This is such a different experience. And obviously, if you're immersed in the world of web development, as you are, it's fairly easy to take that concept on because you realize all of the benefits that that brings over time. But I think that's quite a difficult proposition to sell into a marketplace where everybody is used to paying X amount of dollars for a finished thing. You know, the goal is to finish it and get it done. So I think there's quite a lot of education that needs to be applied in order to make that sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got a note here to just remind ourselves, a couple of episodes ago, we talked about content design, and we were talking about how that came out of the UK government's digital services, where they were taking all of these kind of thousands of government sites and bringing them into one resource.
Yeah.
And they did so much for Agile, which goes back, we'll talk about this in a minute, the history goes back sort of over 20 years now. But because of a government deciding that they were going to go, okay, that's fine, we'll pay for things as we go along rather than budget it in the beginning, I think that really was quite a breakthrough for the whole sort of kind of Agile industry. And I think it's spread because of that. But when you get something as big as UK government doing it.
The economic argument kind of stacks up as well, because as is on the screen there, deliver improvements in small increments instead of big launches. Mm-hmm. There's a cost benefit to it, isn't there? Because if it's just this kind of continual development, it's almost a bit like a subscription service in a sense. You know, you can see the benefit of that because you pay for it, and you know, let's say, I don't know, Spotify or something like that. We're becoming more used to those things in our lives. So you've got a Spotify subscription. You don't expect the app to look the same this year as it will do next year. You assume that improvements will be made, technology will change, the UI will change, the UX will change, you know, all of those kind of things. And it will cost you less per unit of time, month, week, year, whatever it is, than it will do if you pay an absolute boatload of money up front. And so I suppose the economic argument is fairly straightforward to make. And again, the fact that these technologies are increasingly in our pocket makes it easy to kind of draw comparisons to, you know, subscription services, which in a sense, this mirrors a little bit.
Yeah. I'll move on with the slides. I had some extra points. You really made me think about stuff, so I'll try and remember that to come back to it. Yeah. But
historical evolution. I actually didn't know any of this, so this is quite interesting. I did, but you taught me in the past. Agile emerged in response to the rigid, plan-heavy software delivery models that struggled with change, commonly described as waterfall. In the 1990s, methods like Scrum and extreme programming, what a great name, explored faster, iterative ways of working. In 2001, 17 practitioners met in Snowbird, which is in Utah, and wrote the Agile Manifesto. And since then, Agile has spread beyond software into digital products, websites, and many unrelated industries. I actually can't think of an example of unrelated industries, but that is very curious.
Yeah, well, I'll come to those later. Yeah. But I mean, it's in things like banking and financial institutions and marketing and all. Yeah. It's really taken over. I think really, ultimately, it's become the thing for any industry that needs to evolve and keep changing all the time and learn from its mistakes. And I think it's interesting because there are the Agile Manifesto, which brought together these 17 quite intellectual practitioners who experienced the problems of software, you know, development and the costs of it, you know, the failure because of the fact when you start them, the technology is developing, you know, you're often planning to build something for years ahead. Well, by the time you get to the end of it, the technology is already out of date and defunct. So they kind of recognize that in software. But it just spread through to the same problem being there. And it's interesting because if you go to the manifesto, it's still online. If you just type Agile Manifesto, you'll find it with a search. There are four values and 12 principles in these. And it's really the four values that have stood the test of time. And I'll just read those out as they are in the original text.
But okay.
Every industry slightly changes them to suit their industry. So at the time they wrote individuals and interactions over processes and tools. That was the first one. The second one is working software over comprehensive documentation. Third is customer collaboration over contract negotiations. And fourth is responding to change over following a plan. So that was their original. As we see, we get to a later slide, I've slightly changed the wordings of that to kind of fit with web design.
They are really curious philosophical positions, aren't they? And some of them sort of fairly counterintuitive, but when you actually dig a little bit deeper, they make a lot of sense. Like the individuals and interactions over processes and tools, it's kind of hard to understand what that even means. And then when you kind of prize it open and think, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's a much more human approach, basically, it seems like. You know, we want to actually deal with you people as opposed to sort of, you know, getting a brief and then running off and trying to finish it without ever communicating with you ever again until the final, you know, yes moment. But then things like working software over comprehensive documentation, obviously a history of getting bogged down with things like documentation, which is just really boring probably to write and doesn't really get you anywhere. But if you just work on the fact that, okay, we're going to get it going, we're going to make something which actually works, and then we'll go from there. Really interesting. Yeah. And then the fourth one, responding to change over following a plan. Gosh, I mean, that's so profound, isn't it? It's really hard to get into that mindset, especially when budgets are tight. So yeah, they're fascinating.
Yeah. I know, and I think they're the opposite to everything. Well, but I would say most of my, you know, closest colleagues or something are very much in the waterfall, and that's, you know, how I grew up and how I did all the web design and that. Mm-hmm. And, I think all of us know that these web design projects never stay true to the original brief, but we still seem to spend more time complaining about how we can control that, how we can tighten up our contracts, limit scope creep, and so used to people moaning about working with clients and stuff in Facebook groups, and there was things like clients from hell, which is now not always right, and all that. But really, what if we think about it, this is all part of the ongoing learning process of a living thing. And I guess if you I think it's different when you start with the idea that you say my path and your path a little bit, where we go start with a page builder to a certain degree, and then you deliver something that looks, that represents markets, the client online. You're thinking more in a print thing. But when you start to go the way direction I've gone over the recent years, which is starting with the HTML, the communication in the first place, and then the graphics and the images and the technology that goes to support that is built on top of it, it slightly changes your approach to how you look at web project.
Yeah. The bit that you said at the beginning of that was really interesting, in that if you go for the waterfall approach, you can paint the client as this sort of enemy, and therefore you can sell a load of products into that marketplace because you've found an enemy. You can sell a bunch of courses or incredible advice to web developers who are looking for a way to make waterfall work. Whereas the agile approach really kind of boils down to one tenet, which is just keep talking. And if you just keep talking, you don't really need all of that stuff wrapped around it, which is
interesting. The documentation is the interesting thing because, I still fall into this trap of constantly trying to find the perfect system that's going to work for all time, and just failing to ignore that this technology and forms of communication are all live. They're all going to change. You're not going to pinpoint it and say you're done for all time,
Well, that's really hard to get out of, because I think as humans, we kind of crave on some level that bit of stability. Yeah. So if we can find some purchase which we think will last a decade or more, whatever it may be, there's always going to be that, isn't there? But I mean, you have to know that whatever that thing is that you think will last a decade or more might, but it probably won't. Somebody will come along and it will be superseded by something superior, cheaper, faster, whatever it may be.
I'll move on.
Okay, so we're on to the why it matters. Okay, so I'll read the slides out again. So the web, our audience, and our business context will all keep changing, just as we said. An agile approach helps a brand stay responsive, reduce risk, and focus effort where it makes a difference. Working in agile ways means, and here come 3 points. Number one, we prioritize outcomes, what works for users and the business, over outputs, how many pages or features we ship. Let that one sink in for a minute. I think that's really the thing, isn't it? We accept that some early ideas will be wrong and treat that as learning, not failure. And finally, number three, we plan with intention, but leave room to adapt when evidence or circumstances change. Okay, over to you.
Yeah. Well, again, going back to a couple of episodes ago where we're mentioning content design and Sarah Winters, who came up with that kind of concept, she definitely, within that, and this is where there's a lot of overlap with these kind of standards, is the fact that she was encouraging everybody. And I thought it was quite good, everybody to encourage that when they're working on these things, they accept that they're only working to the available knowledge present. That's always the situation. So there's always room for change. That's how you're working. You do the best with what you know at this present time, and that's all you can expect. But you always leave this openness to be wrong, you know, or change. And, it just seems, to me, it just seems logical, really, to be doing this.
Now that we've painted it all out over this and various other episodes, you're right. Like, anything else just seems nuts. However, curiously, this too will also not stand the test of time. You know, something else will come along in 20 years, 10 years, whatever it may be. But for now, this iterative approach, this agile approach, you're right, on so many levels. Like, particularly, this is going to sound strange because it's never mentioned in any of these slides, stress. It really does seem like a stress relief for both parties, because, you know, you don't have that sort of looming deadline where every single thing needs to be finished in a period of time which you probably underestimated anyway, and all of those kind of things. And it's just going to be this slow conversation. It's going to lead to better relationships with your clients. They're going to get to know you. You're going to get to know them. You're going to figure out what they like and what they don't like. It's kind of nuts that it was done in any other way. However, maybe that's because tech is changing more rapidly and the internet is changing more rapidly, and it has done for, I don't know, the last 10, 12, 13 years. At the outset of the internet, when we had, I don't know, table-based approach to doing things, there was a period of time when it didn't change quite so quickly. But things, especially now, are changing so quickly. You know, read AI into that sentence. having anything other than agile seems nuts, because, you know, never going to keep up.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I didn't write this down in notes, so I can't remember the name of one of the 17 practitioners who wrote, who contributed to the manifesto. But he was making a real decision, because there is a bit of a split there. Often when you say agile, people will think about Scrum as a methodology for doing it. And that's very much sold to businesses as this is a working method you can have. And it's become a very commercialized thing, but this one person, he makes the point where in a way what they were doing, and he's kind of worked it out over the years, is basically all it is a bunch of truisms, which are just true about life and learning. You know, that's what the manifesto is. So in some ways it probably won't change. But I did think, you know, when it comes to it, it does take the stress off everybody, I think. The fact that you can sit there and say, we're all just human, we're working it out, we're all learning, and we'll have to learn together, and that's how we're going to, you know, get through this. It does take the stress off it. But I think it's also, it's scientific in that way, because that's the, what we often forget about science is that it is all about falsifying what we know today.
Right.
You know,
right.
The whole purpose to advance, you know. And when we do other things like we plan and predict the future ahead, which is what Waterfall is effectively attempting to do, we're kind of moving more towards the faith and belief in what's going to happen in the future, you know?
Yeah, it is curious, though. I was just thinking as you were saying that, I was trying to think of any commodities which I buy on a regular basis that change over time. And really, truly they don't, you know, almost everything. Like I mentioned shoes earlier, and you know, if you go to the lumber yard and get some wood, it's not going to change. So that is an obstacle to overcome. But I'm a firm believer that the more exposure people have to the internet, the more that they'll see that. A great example was, I was on a website yesterday that I see constantly. I go to this, I won't say what it is, but I go there every single day, more or less, to consume news and what have you. And I refreshed it yesterday and it was like, oh, wow, that's moved. And it was a subtle thing, but obviously some metric had determined that that was, you know, better over there than it was over here. And those kind of things are easy to encapsulate and sell to your clients, you know, like, notice this website over here. Look, if we look 5 years ago, that's what it looked like. This is what it looks like now. Things have changed. Standards have moved on. I don't know, guidelines, accessibility and so on have crept in that have meant that we've got to modify different things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Shall I bring up the next slide? Sorry, you've got the job of reading these all out. Here we are.
That's all right. That's okay. And also, we're having, so I don't know if the noise cancellation will finally get rid of that, but that was a delightful sounding bird that we had in the background. That really makes me jealous. How dare you have lovely wildlife surrounding you?
Yeah.
Right, here we go. The wild, core print. Sorry. Go on.
I was just going to say, wait till the wild elephants charge.
If that happens, you have to pick your laptop up and go and film the elephants. I'm just saying. Right, derailed again. Core principles. Here we go. So this is a new slide. This borrows from the spirit of the Agile Manifesto and applied to web design and development. So four bullet points here. People and collaboration over processes and tools. This is what we talked about just a moment ago. Clear communication and shared understanding beat rigid workflows. That makes sense. Working website over exhaustive documentation. We favor getting a usable version live, then improving it rather than over planning. I have thoughts on that. Number three, responding to change over following a fixed plan. We treat the plan as a guide, not a contract, and adjust it when reality disagrees. And the final one, user value over internal preference. We prioritize the features and content that make a real difference to our visitors. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to you.
It's just rewriting it really for web design rather than the original on that. We were mentioning it earlier about, you know, other industries adopting it. So I've got this in my notes here, is that when I kind of check this, and this is an AI check, by the way, is that it came back with saying that it's kind of widely adopted across nearly all major industries, Agile these days. So it's in marketing and advertising, in manufacturing and hardware, HR, product design, even in construction, event planning, education, and the military. And I don't know, it's adopted by major banks as well. So it's really, really spread.
It's making a lot of, for obvious reasons, because it just on a fundamental level kind of fits the structure of a human life. And if you kind of consider a thing like a website to have a life cycle, then that absolutely makes sense. The one that was interesting over there that I thought that the clients would really love is that second bullet point where it says, working website over exhaustive documentation. We favor getting a usable version live. I think from a client's point of view, that is absolutely manna from heaven, isn't it? You know, just the idea of, not waiting 9, 12, 14 months for the first version, which everybody knows might be a disappointment or ill-considered misfire anyway. This gets you something much, much sooner, but you all know it's not going to be right. Well, you may strike gold and hit the jackpot first time, but chances are you won't. And then it's just going to be improved over time with feedback. I think that's such a great sort of selling mechanism for this. We'll have something much quicker if we all recognize it will have imperfections.
Yes. And also it just sort of makes sense with the way that the internet goes. Well, I mean, we're so used to this idea of this big launch where it goes out there, but like that doesn't, discoverability is the thing that everybody's after on the web, isn't it? Being found. And you're just not found on the day of the launch like that, unless you actually, you know, tell your existing users it's launched, and they probably don't care anyway. And
we'll
look at it another time.
Yeah, I suppose the important part of that sentence, we favor getting a usable version live, is the word usable.
Yes.
So long as it actually works and, you know, you're not just pulling wool over people's eyes and shipping something which is, you know, basically vaporware, then that's okay. Okay.
22 years. I mean, I've done this. I mean, it's 4 years I've been on a project, you know, before that didn't go out. And, you know, all those 4 years, something could have gone out, getting picked up by the search engines, you know, building up some, you know, internet history and stuff like that. I will just mention something because I put a little note on here. It's just there is a, even though I said it's been adopted by all these kind of major industries, that sounds great, but there are different views on Agile often. So people confuse it often with Scrum, this process, rather than get the philosophy of it, like the basic stuff on it. And it has been interesting because even with the UK government, I remember they faced challenges on being able to stick to Agile. People sort of wanted to have their cake and eat it, wanted to be both.
Right.
And it was Mike Bracknell, he wrote a piece that is saying you can't be half Agile. You know, it is a thing you are rather than a thing you buy, you know. It's not a process you buy in and use it when you want to do it. You either believe in the core principles of this is a project that has to keep developing and learning and we learn from it or not. You can't, you know, basically you can't be half pregnant, you know.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's kind of interesting because I'm sure that many people have misunderstood the process of Agile after the fact, bought something, you know, like, okay, we're going to get into this. I get it. Where's the final thing? You know, we're 3 months in, where is it? You know?
Yeah.
And so there is presumably a culture of explaining what that is. I mean, it's not difficult to explain, is it? Here we are doing our best to explain it. It all adds up and makes sense. Yeah. But I suppose you need to go through that journey just to make sure all the stakeholders fully subscribe to the philosophy.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them buy Scrum because it has a process that says this will deliver a better thing and this is how you organize your staff. And it's very appealing to top management. But the idea of changing their whole philosophy about how they think about their projects is a harder battle. And that's really the core of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll move on to the next slide.
Okay. So this then is about how website owners might apply this. So we've got 6 bullet points here. So the first one is define an MVP, minimum.
Sorry.
Is it minimum or minimal? I can never remember.
Minimal, I say, I think.
Yeah, well, let's go with that. Minimum viable product, the smallest set of pages and features that deliver genuine value. So that goes back to the second bullet point in the previous slide. Work in short cycles with a plan, leads to build, leads to review, leads to adjust rhythm to it. And then I presume adjust goes back. Regularly review analytics, feedback and priorities and update the backlog accordingly. Limit work, finish and launch small improvements rather than starting many things at once. Gosh, that's so easy to say. Capture ideas and nice to haves in a backlog instead of trying to do everything in the first release. Guilty. remove or change features that are unused, confusing, or no longer aligned with goals. That all adds up perfectly, doesn't it? That makes sense.
Yeah. Last one even, you know, links back to one of the key things of the content design, removing stuff that you don't no longer want.
Yeah.
But yeah, the backlog is very much a Scrum term where, you know, you do your little cycles. When something comes up that you'd like to have, you stick it in the backlog and it goes into the next cycle of work that you do. So,
I mean, it's easy to say all of those 6 bullet points, isn't it? But I think we've got to be realistic. There is a part of the human psyche that some of those, it just, you know, intellectually, yeah, all of that makes sense. But then the bit about, jettisoning bits that don't make sense. Yeah, but I really like that. I love it. I'm really, but nobody uses it. The data shows nobody uses it. Yeah, but I like it. You know, those kind of things creep in.
Yeah.
It's really hard to be scientific about something which you're so wedded to. So anyway, there we go.
I'll move on. We've got another slide. Oh, no, we haven't.
Well, we do, sort of. I'll just mention for those who are listening to this, there is a bunch of references here. So there's a bunch of hyperlinks to a set of resources, 5 in this case, which have been maybe referenced during the rest of the show. So other than that, I don't think there's anything to say about that slide, is there?
No, nothing really. I mean, I think, you know, the principles are there. I think we've covered, I mean, it's a really simple idea and it really is just about the way As I was mentioning, and I forget his name all the time, the practitioner of Agile, who really gets us to focus on this is just learning, basically. There's nothing about this. It's just the fact that accept that we are wrong and we have to keep learning and we just do things bit at a time. And I think this will link in as well when we come back next time. We'll talk about web standards, because I guess one of the basic framing of kind of doing web development or working with the web is that you always work to the least power, you know, that the web will have.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing about taking small baby steps and improving all the time on this rather than going for something big. So I think it all interconnects all of the standards that we'll be talking about, even though they are seen as different disciplines. They just lock in so well, I think.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, then, I imagine that's probably the shortest episode we've ever done. Clocking in at just 30 minutes. Wow. Gosh. I think we always aim to get about 30 minutes, but never quite happens. But there we go. So that's a wrap. Once again, though, if you want to find out more and you're watching this on YouTube or listening to it or something like that, noscript.show/32 or the numbers 32. Go and check it out over there. But I think, is that it? Are we knocking it on?
We are done. David?
Yeah. All right. We'll see. Which case, I'll see you on the next one.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.